The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you? And all the best for 2022.
Well, this just brings joy to my heart. Speaking to you, welcome back. It's so good to speak to you. I'm liking the slight rasp going on there.
Yeah, Ronnie also is telling me that I need to keep this rasp, you know, raspy but sexy. Maybe that'll be my new slogan. Although I have to tell you, there's very little things sexy about COVID, if you really, really want to know. But nevertheless, as I've said and I've been saying the whole week, I feel enormously blessed that it took me down for one day in terms of the show, because at least it's the Omicron variant and I've been vaccinated. So thank God it is something that does seem to move along.
Well, good to have you back. Hashtag raspy and sexy, damn it.
All right. There were a couple of things that we wanted to actually talk about. And one of the episodes that I missed whilst I was away was because I really did engage in as little news as possible. And I have to tell you, it was a great way of having a bit of a break, because I find we do get so worked up and caught up in a lot of the news, local and international, that it really does work on us. But the one story that I missed, and obviously I saw a lot of reference to it, was the Emma Watson story. What happened there?
Well, first of all, I can't believe that in the first week of January, the biggest topics of discussion were goblins and now, of course, dolphins. But here we are. I think it's some kind of indication of the type of year we are going to have. So the story goes as follows. Emma Watson, one of the stars of the Harry Potter franchise, posted on her social media, on her Instagram page, a solidarity with Palestine, saying solidarity is a verb. Well, actually, it's a noun, but anyway, who wants to tell her? And, of course, the whole Twitterverse and two diplomats went absolutely insane. Now, there are some important points that we have to clarify around this. First of all, she has sold her Instagram to an unnamed feminist collective. I love the way they unnamed. The second of all is that while this post shows solidarity with Palestinians, nowhere did it make any reference or any language that is anti-Israel. But I don't know what your opinion is, but I think, you know, we need a sorting hat to discern what is solidarity, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I do have some extra thoughts on that before anybody sends me the hate mail. There's nothing wrong with expressing your solidarity. However, in my opinion, it's very, very irresponsible when you have a massive platform of 64 million, and there's your opportunity to talk, if you're going to talk about the Middle East and the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, which celebrities have very, very, very little knowledge about. If you're going to talk about it, maybe use your platform to look at ways to engage constructively. However, in this case, it was so one-sided that we had this absolute pile-on on social media, including by two Israeli diplomats, former ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon, and current ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, who basically called her an anti-Semite and all kinds of names, which in my opinion is not very helpful.
So it was all about that, I don't know, a misstep where she confused a verb and a noun, really.
Well, basically it's that. I mean, I don't know what's more offensive. The pile on and the one-sidedness, and of course we've got now 40 useful idiots from Hollywood, including Mark Ruffalo and Susan Sarandon, in their desperate attempt to seem like, experts on the Middle East.
Why do you think it is? Why do you think this is that Hollywood stars have latched on to this? They're not going on about the Uyghur Muslims. They're not going on. And, you know, people always say when I say this, they say, well, it's called whataboutism. It's not a defense. Well, actually it is if you're talking about the way in which people approach Israel versus other places. It actually is the discussion. Why is it that Hollywood somehow seems to go this route, and at the same time you've got somebody like Gal Gadot who is just shooting the lights out, whilst openly having been to the Israeli army, proudly speaks about it. It just seems as though there's this conflict that's happening within the space.
Well, I think it's several fold. I think first of all we cannot dismiss how serious this is. This is where the war, not just for our narrative, but the war for our actual history is taking place. And when you've got stars with 64 million, that is just one person whose reach is 64 million people, Emma Watson. Throw into the mix, you've got the Hadid sisters, Dua Lipa, although now that she's broken up with the brother, Howard, I don't know if she's going to be such an activist anymore. Yeah. You know, we've got to think of all these things to take into consideration. We cannot dismiss how important this is. And this is why it's important that we all become active for our very history and our very narrative, albeit in a very respectful way, people. Respectful. But the reason is as follows. Hollywood stars want to be seen as social justice warriors. And the easiest way to do that is to opine or to be seen as opining on the Israel-Palestinian conflict, because it is so well known. And it requires very little investment in terms of knowledge from their point. However, this very little investment in knowledge has dire consequences because it riles people up. People take these so-called role models, how they became role models beyond me, very, very seriously. And if your favorite Hollywood star or Oscar nominee, in the case of somebody like Mark Ruffalo or Viola Davis, is saying things like save Sheikh Jarrah, they have gravitas and people take them seriously. And it does have consequences. You know, the eerie silence on the situation of Uyghur Muslims, where we're facing a genocide in that respect, or in Tigray, or in other places of the world where we do have a much higher body count in terms of deaths, in terms of genocide, goes unnoticed, but for very, very, very little investment and massive return on your credentials as being a social justice warrior, getting that very, very important blue tick. Celebrities have globbed onto the Middle East. And we all know that this is a conflict that is decades old, has so many different complexities and nuances, and requires a very, very deep understanding of the facts on the ground and historical context. But that's become the greatest tragedy. And here we sit with a situation where we do have Hermione Granger weighing in on the Palestinian and Israeli conflict, either wittingly or unwittingly.
Absolutely incredible. Look, personally, I'll never forgive Mark Ruffalo for destroying the Hulk. I think he's turned him into a emotional wimp, but that's just me. All right, let's talk about things like that. Let's discuss killer dolphins, because dolphins are all the rage at the moment across the Middle East.
Well, I and these are slimline dolphins, Howard. I mean, you couldn't make the story. You really couldn't make the story. I mean, I do kind of love it that not only do Hamas believe that there are pods or units of killer dolphins. I mean, we've had an absolute whale of a time on Twitter dealing with this, but, you know, it gives one a sense of purpose. But One of the Izzeddin al-Qassam, which is the military wing of Hamas, one of the inverted commas operatives, took to Al-Quds, the news outlet, which is also conveniently owned by Hamas, to talk about these pods of killer dolphins that basically destroyed their naval commandos last year during May's conflagration, during Operation Guardians of the Wall. But what I really loved is to demonstrate this. He had this contraption that supposedly fits around a very lean dolphin, you know, complete with gun and scope. And, you know, he demonstrated how these dolphins have absolutely decimated the Hamas Navy. I mean, I don't know. Are dolphins subject to the Geneva Convention or any kind of rules of engagement? But it's opened up a can of tuna all over social media. So we've all had our fun at this expense, but what really, really got me yesterday is that Forbes magazine, which is one of the most respected in the world, their tech journalist has published an article saying, you know, don't laugh about this. This actually has merit. And don't think the Israelis are not using killer dolphins. So the next time you are at SeaWorld or you spot these dolphins.
So they could be Israeli.
Where they're exactly, they could be Israeli, Howard.
Well, are they rude, these dolphins? Do they push
You know, they push other dolphins. They push other dolphins. And you know,
go to SeaWorld, and these are the ones that shove the other ones out the way in order to get the fish. Those are the Israeli dolphins. I mean,
And apparently they do respond well to klezmer music, so I'll clue you. They're not just Israeli dolphins, they're Ashkenazi Israeli dolphins.
Right, okay, so they're not doing the whole hummus thing, they're really going with the borscht. In a world gone...
Hearing Howard... Bad.
Herring, right.
Herring, Howard. Now you know where it comes from.
Indeed, absolutely absurd. Third night of clashes in the Negev. Tell us about this.
Well, this is becoming a very serious situation. It started with a project by the JNF to reforest areas of the Negev. Now, very important to note, the Negev is not disputed territory. However, of course, that doesn't stop the anti-Israel element from, you know, egging it on. But Bedouin have clashed with police in violent clashes for a third night in a row. Last night, 13 people were arrested. But what we are also seeing now, very similar, and this is a worrying trend that we did see last year in the run-up to Operation Guardians of the Wall, is Hamas egging them on, instigating, saying, you know, this is how you take back the land, this is how you resist. So we have a very delicate situation that could actually hurt our coalition government, which we have parties working round the clock trying to look for solutions that we don't see the coalition government topple. We, of course, on the Israeli side, have an element coming from the opposition that where Likud members and far-right members are the ones planting trees. So you have a coalition government caught in a very, very difficult and delicate situation between protests and clashes with police and the opposition, which see a dog in the game wanting to topple the government.
Really, really frightening, this whole situation. And that's exactly what we are seeing, is these proxy wars, isn't it? It's instigating and then standing back and seeing the damage that is done. And of course, the other terrible, terrible story was one that we've been speaking about with, as you said, you spoke about it in the afternoon show, the issue of the burial of the two soldiers killed in so-called friendly fire.
It is just an absolute tragic, any angle that you look at it, but Majors Ofek Aharon and Itamar El-Halal have been laid to rest. We cannot imagine the devastation of their families and the devastation of the soldier involved We know the army is going to do a very comprehensive investigation and will also be offering psychological and emotional support to the soldier involved. It's just absolutely tragic from every angle.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And on that note, as an unfortunate note to end it, but that is where we leave it. Raleigh and Marks, thank you as always. Wonderful to speak to you. Have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat shalom. And we'll catch you next week.